Hi, this is John Amundson, and I want to welcome you to the next podcast in our series of podcasts presented by the Psychology Association of Alberta. The purpose of the podcast is to present information that's timely, topical, and even controversial to the membership. I have often said it's provided by PAA for the membership, but I also have on numerous occasions said that the contents of the podcast should not necessarily reflect any particular position held by PAA, and they belong to me. Patti Smith in her song says, Jesus died for somebody's sins, but not mine. PAA may take responsibility for some stuff, but not necessarily everything that has to do with my productions here. All right, today I'm doing this quite quickly based upon an article that I found in Medscape Psychiatry. And it's a very neat article because I like it because it's what I was saying. So when you find something that shakes hands with your own opinion, quite often you feel either justified in your opinion or you want to just stand up and shout out your opinion. And it was done by a psychiatrist named Dina Miller, and it was called Don't Equate Mass Shooting with Mental Illness. Right after this recent tragedy in the United States, a person stood up at the mic and said, this person is crazy. This is an absolutely crazy person, and they suffer from horrible mental illness to do this. And I started shaking my head, and I was actually talking with a colleague, and I said, that's wrong. It is wrong to attribute these things to, quote, mental illness, because that's a dodge regarding what the actual issue is and what the concern is that we should actually have. Because the concern we should have relates to a whole nother demographic dimension in the issue of mass shootings. In this article, the psychiatrist points out that mental illness and illness in general is believed to play a role in about 10% of all murders, right? And this mass murders still are very, very rare, right? I mean, not so rare that I think people should say, oh, well, so what? There's only a few kids that go down, so we might as well preserve our right to have all our guns. Of course, no Republican would ever say that. They would simply say, aha, let's see, guns, let's get more guns, and let's arm the schools, we'll arm teachers. At some point, they'll probably say, let's arm kids, maybe high school kids, I don't know, maybe university. There are open carry permits in places, I think in Texas already, so university and college students can carry guns on campus. And then they go right away to the mental illness issue. And they say, well, maybe we'll put a law. Let's pass a law. And the law will be no one's allowed to commit a mass shooting until they're age 21. You know, let's do that. That's me being smart aleck. But they'll say, okay, let's not let anybody buy an automatic weapon until they're 20. As if this is going to make a difference relative to the crisis actors that are associated with these matters. Crisis actors. Michael Shermer has written on this very same issue, and he says, these are individuals seeking salience, seeking recognition and impact and identity through these actions. They may be affiliated or not with certain political causes. The New Zealand shooting and the shooting in Buffalo, New York, were both individuals that identified with the will not be replaced and the ethnic issue, and used that as a vehicle to achieve salience. In certain jurisdictions, the identity and the story that these guys bring is not shared. And the reason it's not is the same reason when there is a spectator event at spectator act at sporting events, they don't show it. So when the guy is streaking or they're on the field acting out, the TV cameras turn off because that's been shown to dissuade such actions. Actions of that sort are lower when these individuals are not going to be able to be seen on screen. All right, so going into this, the article, and this is where Amundson shakes hands with it, says, first, mental illness is ubiquitous. I mean, it's not isolated to North American culture. It's all over the world. But mass killings of this sort are not ubiquitous. I'm going to fake a statistic here. It's based on a reality. What was it? 59 murders by firearm in England, in the UK last year, and 1,900 killings with firearms in the United States. So we're getting to the money shot here, which is this, and I'll read it from her article. Already said, mental illness is not unique. However, the number of available firearms is. In a country of 300 million people, including children and people who live in institutions where they have no access to firearms, there are an estimated 400 million guns. So that all of a sudden you have guns become the real issue. Conservative individuals are just not willing to look at that, not willing to look at these statistics. We are lucky to live in Canada where gun ownership and gun issues have not become this fetishized issue that has to do with freedom. That is, that the gun symbolizes a right, a freedom. Nonetheless, in Canada, we have faced over this last year the fetishization of the mask, where something as simple as a mask, putting on a mask to protect others, became symbolic of a reduction in freedom. And so the same fetishization there. And the numbers popping out to symbolize that freedom also were associated with, I'm going to say fringe elements in an unkind sense, but associated with individuals that were coming from a fringe regarding assertion of their rights. Anyway, so goofy, eh? Goofy. And this would never, I would probably be banned from traveling to the United States if this podcast became so well known there. My opinions, not necessarily those of the Psychology Association.
He was a friend of mine. He was a friend of mine. Every time I think of him, I just can't keep from crying. 'Cause he was a friend of mine. He died on the road. Just kept on moving.